The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. If you haven't gotten a chance to check out the Players Tribune and the column that Vikings running back Aaron Jones, former Green Bay Packers, wrote about his time in Green Bay, I highly recommend. Go find it on social media. Go find it on the Players Tribune site. Read through it. And I really, really, really appreciated the sentiment that Aaron Jones put in there. He talked about how when his father passed away, Green Bay kind of wrapped its arms around him, right? He was going through something incredibly difficult shortly after he had signed the big deal in Green Bay, right? Mm-hmm. So the highest of highs and the lowest of lows right next to each other in his life, and how Green Bay and members of the Green Bay staff attended the funeral, and that really showed him that he was a valued member of the organization. Now, you could make the argument that when they went back to the negotiating table, Gabe, and he was asking for a certain amount of money and they said no, that maybe he didn't feel as appreciated as wrapping their arms around him. But he is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings, was able to get more money from the Vikings, and he has been pretty successful in that offense early this year. I'm looking at a game-by-game game log for Aaron Jones. Rushing 102, rushing 32, not as good. Rushing 94. But he also has been productive in the passing game.
Not shocking.
Five receptions, six targets. Five receptions, six targets. Two of two, depending on the game that you're looking at. I like Aaron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I want Aaron Jones to have any modicum of success this weekend? No, I do not. Because I think, Gabe, he's one of these guys that when he gets rolling, he rolls. It's not like he's a flash in the pan kind of guy. I know you have talked about the inconsistency maybe from game to game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think pretty traditionally, in a game, when he is used regularly,
mm-hmm,
he has big numbers. He puts up big numbers.
Yeah, that is undeniable. Like, the big plays are always there for Aaron Jones. And like you said, I mean, he's somebody that's eventually going to come back here. I think he's going to end up in the Packers Hall of Fame. You know, he's eventually going to be welcomed back into the Packer family. There's a reason why he was seemingly every year the Packers Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Like, he's a really good dude. Did a lot of great things for the community. I hope he has negative rushing yards on Sunday.
Does that make us bad people?
No.
Are we bad people?
No.
Are we good fans?
Yes. Okay. No, I'm not wishing ill will upon him. I'm not hoping he gets injured. I just hope he has a bad game.
So what is the number? And Joshy and I had a good chuckle yesterday. And there's nothing better than Joshy's chuckle, by the way. Just side note. But we had a good chuckle yesterday when Chewy, who is on vacation now, for those of you who are asking where the big guy is, Chewy said he hopes Aaron Jones has 160 yards. We assume he means from scrimmage. We hope that that's just not on the ground.
I hope that's total yards, and that includes kickoff for your yardage.
Very bad day for the Packers' run defense. But he said he hopes he has 160 yards and the Packers win. And Joshy was very clear, those two things are pretty mutually exclusive. Right, Joshy? Like, if Aaron Jones goes for 160, a buck 60, it'd be very hard for the Packers to find a way to win.
I don't know how many times in history a running back has had 160 or over and lost a game. I would gather it's very few, because every time you're running the ball that much and you have the ability to traverse the entire field a time and more than a half alone, those usually mean wins. That's how the game works.
Yeah, I feel Jen's got a better chance of getting Superman on the Walk of Fame than the Packers would have running winning the game if they give up 160 yards on the ground to Aaron Jones. That is my nightmare.
Feels personal.
160 yards on the ground for Aaron Jones.
So let's figure out a number that you can swallow. Let's figure out a number that is bearable, that is palatable. How many yards from scrimmage? So we're talking about total rushing, total receiving. Has he been even playing special teams? I feel
No, he's not special teams.
You mentioned it, and I was like, did I miss Aaron Jones playing special teams?
No, I was just saying if he had 160, the only way he can have 160 total yards is if he's returning kicks and the Packers still win. That's the only way.
It's about four times in the year that you go over 160 yards as a team and still lose. So one single person, I'm still working on those stats, seems even less likely.
So what is the number of yards from scrimmage for Aaron Jones that you could swallow that means the Packers could still win the game, right? We are all laughing and saying 160 is too high. Likely the Vikings would walk out of Lambeau Field with a win in that scenario. What is the number that Aaron Jones could get and go, all right, good job. Like, good for you, but your team is walking out of here with a loss.
I feel it's got to be around 100. You start creeping up higher than that, and that means a lot of things are going well for Minnesota. I think it's got to be around 100. Like, if he ends up with 105, Packers can still win that game. He gets to 125. I don't know, Jim. Doesn't seem like if Aaron Jones has 125 yards from scrimmage, it just doesn't seem like the Packers are going to be able to play enough defense to slow down the Vikings. If he has 125, that means to me the Vikings offense is cooking.
Would it also mean to you that maybe, and I don't know if they're using him differently than the Packers were using him, but would it also mean that the Vikings had maybe jumped out to a big lead and then they were running the ball, kind of trying to salt away the win in the second half?
Yeah, or, I mean, again, because the Packers' run defense has been bad against good backs, they just had success early and they just kept going to it.
800-990-3776 reaction rolling in on this question. How many yards could Aaron Jones have from scrimmage? So we're talking about him in the passing game as well. And still have the Packers get a victory. John weighing in saying the number is 90. Dave from Aaron saying if we keep Jones under 90 yards, we will be in good shape.
Oh, yeah. 100%. If it's under 100, I feel really good. If it's under 100, I feel really good about the Packers' chances of winning the game because that means their defense figured some things out to slow him down running. Maybe he gets a couple of nice catches in the passing game, but to me, that means they can get to a point where maybe they're pinning their ears back and try to get after Sam Darnold.
Is there anything, though, of the explosive plays? And I know we have talked about how the Packers have been pretty good at the explosive plays, but could he get a couple of explosive plays, but they still kind of hold him? You know, where it ends up being chunk yardage, but they still hold him, relatively speaking. Like that, I guess I'm preparing myself for that likelihood. I am preparing myself for the likelihood that Aaron Jones breaks off a couple. Maybe he stays out of the end zone. Maybe he doesn't. But the Packers can still win if they're able to limit the number of explosive plays by Jones.
Limit them one.
One.
He gets one. Because again, if he has two, that means something else is going wrong. And if he has two, he's probably going to have three. It means he's probably going to have four. Like if you can, okay, one time, somebody made a mistake, we can correct that mistake and figure it out as we go. But if he's getting multiple big splash plays, that means the Vikings have found something and are exploiting it and the Packers can't figure it out.
Joshy, do you find yourself afraid of Aaron Jones a little bit? Are you finding yourself a little intimidated by what you think he might be able to do? Or is this much ado about nothing?
I'm not terribly afraid of Aaron Jones. I think Aaron Jones is a weapon. And I think, but as Gabe has talked about, aside from the end of last season, Aaron Jones is known for the either-or situation. Mm-hmm. He had 102 rushing yards against the Texans and added 46 receiving yards to that. The game before, he had 9 total carries, 32 yards, and 5 catches for 36.
Now, against that San Francisco defense, though, which we...
Yes, correct. But, I mean, they clearly went away from it for a reason. And 3.6 yards per carry, you can live with that. You can do a lot with that.
But how do you feel about the 6.7 that he averaged against the Giants?
That makes you worry.
The 5.4 against Houston.
I'm going to make a bold claim here. I do think the Packers' defense is better than the Giants' defense.
Okay. All right.
So not
we're on the same
bold.
Page. That's we're like, on the same page.
That's like a giant branch that you are stepping yes. out on there. I feel pretty confident it's going to hold you.
What about the Texans' defense?
I think Packers and Texans can kind of be either or any given week. I think you can. It's matchup dependent. Like what went wrong for the Texans was the Vikings jumped out to a giant lead,
yeah.
And then it was, we're just going to grind you out, and then they still couldn't stop them while they were grinding them out. Like, that's the situation, and I think that's... some defenses can withstand that, but most modern... You have to have a lead. The Packers have to have a lead, and they can't let them kind of instill the game plan. The Vikings do that to them. You need to get out to a lead, or you need to keep it very close throughout the duration of the game.
Ian weighing in saying, I would like for Aaron Jones to have more than 58.5 yards. That's my prize pick to win. Ian, I appreciate somebody who is rooting for their wallet this weekend, a man after my own heart. Justin saying, I'm not worried.
It's only 58 points.
Look at you. You're like, hammer. I mean, hammer.
Seems. I mean, even in his bad game, he had over 58 yards from scrimmage.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Justin says, I'm not worried. Jones will fumble at the worst time for the Vikings. He's notorious for that in big games. Love you, guy, but the gloves are off. Worried at all or not worried? I mean, we wouldn't be worried. We'd be thrilled. But if Aaron Jones, do you see him fumbling?
That'd be fantastic. I would be thrilled.
With 81 or less and no touchdowns. That from AC in Wauwatosa. Oof. No touchdowns.
Yeah, look, again, I think it's under the 100 because if he's getting up to the 100 mark, that means something is going well. I mean, as Joshy pointed out, he had 68 in a bad game, you know, and he only had 9 rushes against the 49ers. So, you know, even if he has that bad game, they give him a couple more touches, he can get up around that 81 mark. Like, I feel like 80 to 90 is still a bad game for the Vikings and Aaron Jones. Get up over 100, then I start getting a little nervous.
Brandon weighing in saying, if Sam Darnold returns to his old self and is throwing interceptions, the Vikings will have to run the ball all game. Jones can have success and the Packers still win, especially if Jordan is back and playing well. I don't see Kevin O'Connell deviating too much. I think if Sam Darnold throws a pick, I don't think they're going to go to the ground and pound. I think they will still rely on Sam Darnold to move the ball through the air. Because Kevin O'Connell is not a panic guy.
Minnesota, last year after Kirk Cousins got hurt, their biggest issue was turnovers. They were able to still move the ball. Like, Nick Mullins had multiple games, 300, I think he even had over a 400-yard passing game. The big problem with Nick Mullins was threw a lot of interceptions, turned the ball over, killed a lot of drives. Yep. And Sam Darnold, that's what he's been able to avoid. If he continues to avoid that, that's the reason why Kevin O'Connell decided to go to him, because he's been able to find a way with Sam Darnold to limit the turnovers. And he's got a turnover-prone guy behind him. So if Sam Darnold, I mean, they're not going to go to the bench. Sam Darnold's their guy. He is their starting quarterback. Unless Sam Darnold gets hurt, that's the only way they would go away from him.
Sam Darnold with the Jets had 15 interceptions, 13 interceptions, 11 interceptions, 13 with Carolina, 3 with Carolina. And so this is my point is, guys, he has, starting out, again, as a rookie quarterback early in his career, yeah, he was turning the ball over. But the last 3 years, guys, 3-1-2. Now, that's in limited action, right? 6 games in the season he threw 3 interceptions, 10 games in the season he threw 1 interception. But that number has gone down dramatically. So maybe he has figured it out. And that is part of the reason why Kevin O'Connell feels more confident with him being under center. John bringing up a good point. We did address this a little bit earlier. Jones can only perform up to the level of their offensive line. If we win up front, we could realistically keep him under 80. And we mentioned their offensive line does have some warts. It is vulnerable, especially in the interior game.
In pass rush, not in run block. That's the issue. And pass rush, yeah, maybe you can get some of that pressure up the middle, but they have been really good at run blocking through 3 games.
800-990-3776. What is the number, the yards, that you feel comfortable with Aaron Jones getting in his return to Lambeau Field where the Packers could still win? The big guy said 160 yesterday. We all sort of feel like maybe that is egregious. Maybe that is not compatible with a win for the Packers.
How is he a football genius? Because he is. He knows more than football than all of us combined. And yet he's going to sit there and say 160 yards and the Packers can still win?
I did some research on that. There seems to be less than 40 times in the history of the NFL where someone rushed for over 160 yards and their team still lost.
I mean, and most of those, I'm guessing, are pre Super Bowl era.
Yes, there's a lot of 1950s. I think O.J. Simpson leads the list. Marcus Allen's up there. Yeah. Like, it's very much an antiquated version
before
of the NFL.
Before the forward pass was even invented.
I'm gonna be honest. I did not have O.J. Simpson on my bingo card this morning.
When you see his name, it sticks out.
That's fair point.
Sticks out when I talk about Professional Construction Inc. because they have been fantastic every time we have a remodeling project or a home addition or just need their help with an around-the-house handy project. The PCI team is here for us, and the PCI team is here for you. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships in addition to doing exceptional work. Congratulations to PCI for celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. You can learn more about PCI at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 888 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got?
Got a list of eight things in front of me. Is Yashi guessing along with this one?
Got it.
I'll play.
Okay. I am looking for, so you guys guess back and forth. And once you each get one incorrect, we move it on to the fans, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins that foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club. Join me out there. Find out more about membership information at thewisconsincountryclub.com. I am looking for the last eight Packers who have more than one 100-yard rushing game in their Packers career. So you have to have multiple 100-yard rushing games, the last eight Packers players to do it.
So Aaron Jones
is number one on the list.
I'm usually good for one. Then things get dicey.
Joshy?
I feel like A.J. Dillon is on this list, but I know Jamal Williams is on it.
Jamal Williams, number two on the list.
Now, is it a? I feel like it's a gamble to go A.J. Dillon. Just feels
well,
like...
If Jamal Williams is two...
You think A.J. Dillon could be three?
No. I think that would preclude him from being on the list.
How about Eddie Lacy?
Eddie Lacy, number three on the list.
Number four, James Starks.
Whoa,
number four.
Now you're guessing specific.
Well, yeah,
numbers?
I'm trying to go back to who was running the ball in order.
James Starks is number four. And wow. He only had two, by the way.
Wow.
Barely qualified for the list.
He must have been in that Super Bowl run.
No, he had the one in the playoff year? Game, but that does not count. He actually had one. He had one randomly in like 2015.
Hmm.
And then
I wouldn't have even known
that.
That Starks was still on the team in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so this is going back, Chris Berman. I'm going to say Ryan Grant.
Is number five on the list.
Oh, we are knocking him down right in a row. I'm less confident at what comes after, but is it still time for Amon Green on this
Gotta
list?
Be.
Right?
Amon Green, number seven on the list.
Crazy. And we're talking back in Chewy's day.
So we've got one in between there, right? Is mm-hmm. what we're missing, and then that number eight.
But again, Amon Green was the guy, the bell cow, for years and years and years and years. So do we jump straight to Chewy's era? Do we go straight to Doris the Horse?
I think you could do that, or you could. What about did what's his name Sam Congato in there sneak a 100-yard game in
twice? All right, poker face.
I don't know what you guys want from me.
I'm going to guess Dorsey Levins.
Not on the list.
Dang it!
I'm just going to say, Gatto, it doesn't feel right. Two doesn't feel right. It was... I've looked back on those numbers. They weren't as good as I remember it being.
No, it was as good as you remember
really?
It being. Yeah, it was. Sam Congato is indeed number eight on the list. What do you mean? You looked at those numbers and it wasn't as good as you remember
it
being. I
guess childhood me felt like he was running all over for...
He ran for almost 600 yards in eight games, Josh.
Yeah. I guess it's the eight games. I felt like it was more games that
yes,
he was
it's definitely Yes, it felt like, I mean, because they were so bad in 05, like it kind of feels like it was the entire season.
It felt like he had a million yards.
But he had a game of 103, a game of 111, and a game of 171.
We definitely know this name that's stuck in the middle here, but I'm not going to be able to pull it.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Can you reset the list for me?
Aaron Jones, number one. Jamal Williams, two. Eddie Lacy, three. James Starks is four. Ryan Grant is five. We need number six. Amon Green, seven. Sam Congato, number eight. The last eight Packers running backs who have had multiple 100-yard rushing games. 800-990-3776. Just need the one more. Whoever gets it gets that... foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club.
800-990-3776. We did a pretty good job there. But I think part of the reason that we were successful, Josh, is because some of those guys played for a while.
Yeah.
Right? Amon Green played for a long time. Ryan Grant was the guy for years and years. Aaron Jones, obviously, mm-hmm. who's number one on the list.
Jamal Williams is as underappreciated, I think, as it gets.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But he was really good for the Packers when he was here. I mean, he wasn't like a 1,000-yard guy, but in terms of a number two back, like, couldn't ask for anything better.
Ah, Ryan from Iguanago tying everything together, saying, Amon Batman Green.
Yep. He had the Batman tattoo.
that was his nickname. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Justin in Greendale. Justin, we only have one spot left on the top 8-8 list this morning. Can you complete the list?
Ty Montgomery.
Ty Montgomery is incorrect. He had one big game of over 100 yards, but he did not have two.
800-990-3776. Teddy in Watertown, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete the top 8-8 list?
Did Cedric Benson have two?
Cedric Benson did not have two. I love the guess, though. But Cedric Benson did not have two.
800-990-3776. John in, where is John from?
Exonia.
It looked like a letter salad to me, but Exonia. You're next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Yep. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
A.J. Dillon.
A.J. Dillon only had one in his Packers career so far. Had that big game against the Tennessee Titans. Has not followed that up with another triple-digit game.
800-990-3776. Dave in Green Bay, the final guess on our top 8-8 list is giving people trouble. Do you have the answer?
Edgar Bennett.
Edgar Bennett is too far back.
800-990-3776. Justin in Lake Geneva. Gabe, did you anticipate that this one on the list would give people so much trouble?
This was going to be the tough one. This was always going to be the tough one.
Justin, you're up next. Can you complete our top 8-8 list?
Brandon Jackson.
Brandon Jackson in 2007 and then again in 2010 had two 100-yard rushing games.
All right, congratulations to Justin in Lake Geneva. You are our big winner this morning on top 8-8. Can I tell you something? Brandon Jackson is one of my go-to guesses when it comes to running backs for the Green Bay Packers.
Shouldn't he be.
I know, but I covered him. It was early in my career, so it's always like top of mind. And he was such a nice young man.
No respect to Mr. Jackson. Those are days I try and forget.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson. Is that what you're saying?
It wasn't. He was not the best second-round pick the Packers ever had.
Was he out of Nebraska?
Yeah, he was. He was out of Nebraska. Yeah, this list was, I was originally just going to do you had to have one, because then we could have Josh Jacobs on the list, Ty Montgomery would end up on the list, A.J. Dillon, but number 8 would have ended up being damn near impossible.
Who was it?
Jonathan Franklin.
Unfamiliar.
So he was a draft pick for the Packers in his rookie year, third game of the year in 2013, had 100 yards, but he also played a lot of special teams. Had a neck injury, and that was it. Like, he was told by doctors, like, if you get hit wrong, that could be it for you. So he retired, only played like 11 games for the Packers back in 2013. So, yeah, he randomly had a 100-yard game back then.
Very good list. Really appreciate it. I do want to also address this. I do have some folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying that the line has moved to 3 for the Green Bay Packers. I'm not seeing that on the Potawatomi Sportsbook. On the Potawatomi Sportsbook, it is holding firm at 2.5. I imagine, this is just my guess, when we get some clarity on who is starting, you might see some movement on that line. Maybe if you're at a different sports book, maybe you're looking elsewhere, you're getting different numbers, but that's what I'm still seeing.
ESPN bet's still 2.5 as well.
That's what I'm still seeing at Potawatomi Sportsbook. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this, Gabe.
Looking for a better used car interest rate? At Ewald, they make it easy to save thousands during the used car rate reduction event. Get rates as low as 4.9% on Ewald Automotive Group's best used cars. 4.9% on over 600 vehicles at 10 locations. Increase your purchase power with a better used car from the name Milwaukee has trusted for 60 years. All you have to do is go to ewaldauto.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. Let's
put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and there is no question that we are existing in, navigating a very different college football space than we are accustomed to. If you have been following college football, there are people out there who believe that the game is a far cry from the game they grew up in, game they grew up following. A lot of that is the influx of money. A lot of that is the newfound power that athletes have. And I think this example of UNLV's quarterback Matthew, is it Sluka? Sluka? I feel like I should know how to pronounce his name.
I've heard it pronounced as Sluka.
But I have never talked about this kid before. Maybe I should have, because UNLV is an undefeated team. And as it stands currently, all undefeated teams have a path to the college football playoff. But Sluka has decided that he will not continue this season with UNLV. In fact, he is going to use a redshirt year because there is unfulfilled money. He was promised, according to him and his agent, $100,000 from an assistant coach to go to UNLV. He was a transfer student, famously went into the transfer portal. And he and his people are saying he only received $3,000. $3,000 of a promised $100,000. Now, there is a lot of nuance in here. There are a lot of articles if you're interested in diving into those. But Gabe, what this basically comes down to is mouths writing checks that they are then not signing, that they are then not handing out. And there's been a lot of criticism of this young man and his agents, his representation, for not getting the deal in writing, for not having a contract with the university or the collective or whoever it is, because university program cannot legally until this thing goes through, this antitrust lawsuit.
Yeah, as the lawsuit gets settled, finalizing and all that. Yeah.
Until that happens, the universities cannot hand over a check to the athletes, but the collectives can, and that's kind of been the way that teams are getting around it. Do you blame the kid for not doing his due diligence?
No, I blame the university for prominent. I blame the offensive coordinator, because these are supposed to be the leaders of men. They're the leaders of men, Jen. The leaders of men, their word is their bond.
Now right? I'm thinking of Jerry Maguire.
So, I blame the offensive coordinator who promised it, but there's no, I mean, again, this is where the NCAA has failed in this whole thing. They just decided to put their heads in the sand and just kind of let whatever happen. So, yes, should they have gotten a contract? Probably. But how many kids out there actually do have contracts for the money that was promised for them? I'm thinking the kid that transferred from Alabama to Iowa, got some money and went back to Alabama. I'm guessing there was no contract there that the university ended up getting burned on. I'm guessing there's not a lot of these contracts, because even though now it's all above board and you can talk about it openly and freely, that still some of it's happening under the table without a lot of these contracts being signed.
Yeah.
And teams and schools are trying to come up with, how are we going to get this money now that we promised this kid?
So there's a few things at play here. Whether you like it or not, the top tier rosters in college football are costing $20 million. And that number is likely to go up. So we could be looking at $30 million over the next few years. That's the big conversation that we were having about Tennessee last week, when Danny White, the athletic director, tacked on the tax to the tickets because they're trying to come up with new ways to make money. Donors are like, no mas, no more. I've given all of the money that I can give, that I can write off legally on my tax returns, et cetera, et cetera. So $20 million to field a roster. The other thing is, and this is what I told you guys that Nick Saban had told us on one of our conference calls, is people get the transfer portal wrong. It is not always a disgruntled athlete. In this instance here, Sluka was not disgruntled or unhappy with how things were going at his previous school. It is more likely that a school, UNLV, looked around and said, we can't compete without a top-tier quarterback. We do not have enough talent at that position. And then they look and see who some of the top performers are at some of the other programs who might be looking to move up. And they reach out to their representation and they say, here's how much we could give your guy, your player, your athlete, if he comes to our school. None of that, Gabe, can be put in writing.
Nope.
These are all backdoor conversations that then fuel the athlete's decision to jump into the transfer portal, already knowing where they're going to go because they have talked money. They have talked turkey. Like, that's the misinterpretation that I think a lot of sports fans have out there, is they think that all of this stuff is, well, how did you not get it in writing? Well, because the conversation was happening when he was still at his previous school.
When the conversation couldn't legally happen.
Yeah, I give no value to the UNLV and the NIL collective saying this never happened. Because they can't say that, because they would be admitting to improper benefits and recruiting of a player. So them saying, we didn't actually promise him this money, is what you have to say to avoid legal trouble. So take that for what it is. I mean, if I wasn't paid to come here, I would not be showing up here any longer. As much as I like all you guys,
what if we paid you 3% of what you're making?
That
still
neither,
walking out the door?
Yeah,
still walking.
Still going to be looking for other employment.
Okay, all right.
And I think that's a really good analogy, Joshy, because it is big business. It is no longer quote unquote for love of the game. And you can hate it. You can despise it. You can stomp your feet and pound your fists about how we've gotten away from the innocence, quote unquote, of college sports. But this is where we are. So I feel for this kid who went in good faith to a program he thought would not only elevate him, right? Because now he's on a bigger stage, mm-hmm. getting more attention, playing for an undefeated team, but would also pay him. This is proprietary. He has a talent that very few people have. And for him to not, in this day and age, be getting paid for that talent, that's not okay. It's not okay. It's not acceptable. I am applauding him for taking a stand and walking away and saying, I don't need it. I don't need it. Now, there are going to be people, guys, and I've already seen it on social media, who will criticize him as a teammate. We saw it with Simone Biles, right? Mm-hmm. It was the most famous instance of when she was dealing with her mental health challenges, when she was dealing with the twisties and decided, it's not good for me to be here. I need to take a break. People were like, you quitter. Quit on your team? What kind of teammate are you? You're going to see that here, Gabe. Is that fair?
No. And again, this is where it becomes tricky because, you know, when you talk about sports, it's supposed to be for the love of the game. We've heard Chewy talk about, man, it's tough. It's tough to feel like you're letting your guys down. But if Chewy was here and we asked him, all right, if the Packers only paid 3% of what they owed you, he's not stepping out on that field. And this is no longer amateur athletics. This is professional athletics. This is big boy stuff. So if we want to equate like, oh, well, regular life stuff, if you get hired for a job and they pay you 3%, and granted, yes, we're not all the way through the season, but we're a quarter of the way through the season for college football. You know, they played three of their, like, okay, then he should probably have $25,000. They're woefully short, however you cut this in. And if you aren't being paid for what you were promised, yeah, walk away. That's what you do in business. Hey, you're not paying me for services rendered. Okay, I'm out.
And I will tell you this, guys, if he played the entire season, giving the program or the collective, whoever you want to pin on here, the benefit of the doubt, you'd be like, sucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? At the end of the year, you'd be like, oh, no one told you you had to play the whole season, right? He's damned if he does, he's damned if he doesn't. And so in this instance, he and his family and his agents have had the conversation of, and maybe they're trying to play a little hardball. Maybe they're trying to pressure the collective and the people who were supposed to pay him to pay him. You know, like maybe he would say, you know what, I'll come back, I'll play if you give me what was promised to me. But this feels like a new uncharted frontier that is going to have significant domino effects in college football games.
The coaching staff is the one that let the team down. They made a promise that they didn't live up to. And that's just as much of this as well. Like the team, the coaches are the ones responsible for this whole thing. They promised 100K. They could not deliver. They let the team down. And they're going to let the team down going forward because I guarantee the next quarterback that they talk to is going to go, okay, but can you actually pay me? Do you actually have that money? Like that's going to be something that UNLV is going to have to deal with. But that's part of, and again, that's the hit that they're going to have to take. And that's the, you know, I doubt that we see Power 5 schools, or I guess it's Power 4. I mean,
it is, yeah.
Let's be honest here. So I doubt Power 4 schools like Wisconsin operate like this because they know if they promise an amount of money to a kid and he comes here and they don't live up to that, that's going to get around. And then best of luck to you and your program getting another high-level kid that you promised money to.
Do they need a salary cap, Joshy? Does college football, and again, this would go, it always brings back to Northwestern and the unionizing and all of those things. Does college football need a salary cap so that there is a certain amount of money allocated and you have to have it in the kitty, quote unquote, in order to enter into these sort of negotiations, enter into these sort of agreements with players?
I think that's the best way to balance the playing field. The teams like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, they are still going to, even with a salary cap, get the highest level of talent, but it's going to allow the talent to be more spread out. The way through this is simply employment contracts. here's how much you're coming to play for how long and for how much money. You can circumvent multiple issues, the constant transfer and all that stuff. Even if it's just 1 year, though, you can find yourself in a spot where you have, here's how much you are playing for at this school. You can seek other options, but guess what? Once you're here, you're here. This is how much you get paid. There's none of this dancing around, and it's still going to be circumvented. It's college football. It's the sleaziest sport we have.
But that's the problem, right? Like, yeah. Even if you throw a salary cap on it, then doesn't that just get us right back to when players weren't allowed to get paid?
It does, and I mean...
Because then you can just do under-the-table deals to, okay, your contract says you're getting $500K as this quarterback, but... We've got a booster who's willing to throw in another $200,000.
I do think NIL is still going to exist regardless, because once you've cracked that egg, like, those kids are still going to be able to be the representation of, I mean, it's like the car dealerships. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing with Las Vegas is there a shortage of money there or something? Is something going on in Vegas? Are the casinos taking a bath? Because it feels like one place where they should be able to pony up $100,000 for a quarterback. That seems weird to me.
Yeah, they would have to have a vested interest, though, in the team being good. And I'm not sure that, you know, as much money as we perceive there to be in Vegas. And there is
UNLV
a boatload.
Isn't a casino itself.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But to Joshy's point, wouldn't that be the first place you were going? UNLV presented by Wynn? UNLV presented by the Mirage?
Didn't UNLV have a slot machine on their sideline? Do I not remember? It was the latest form of the turnover chain thing, and they went over and pulled a big slot machine.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't an operational slot machine, Josh. It's not like they were lining up in the stands, coming down from the bleachers, putting in their $5, trying to hit the big one.
But casinos are in partnership with colleges at this point. That Rubicon has been crossed.
Yeah, but UNLV is not a big time. It's not a big enough program where BetMGM is going to go, you know, it's going to get us a lot of exposure. UNLV. Not when we're the official betting partner of the NFL.
Well, and here's the thing. And again, the challenge is, of course, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, right? But this kid's dad is saying that he chose UNLV less money because he wanted to go there. He believed in the program and the structure and all of those type of things. When he was offered 25 other NIL deals from other schools, Big Ten, SEC, 4 and 5 times the amount of money we were willing to take from UNLV. Now, could I talk to Coach Saban this week at game day and ask him, like, hey, what's the real deal there? Because Coach Saban knows all of this stuff. Like, he knows the conversations. And maybe he would say, yes, that's absolutely true. He was being recruited by quote unquote. There was interest there from Big Ten programs and SEC programs. Or he might say, no, there wasn't. Like, dad's just saying that to make it seem like, hey, we chose this place over all of these other options. I don't know what the truth of that situation is. And that, of course, is why this is so intriguing, because there seem to be multiple versions of what went down with this young man at UNLV.
I tend to think it sides more with him. Like, maybe it wasn't a full 100,000, but again, it comes back to UNLV having to deny the whole thing because they reached out to him when he was still had a scholarship from somebody else before he entered the transfer portal. Which is like, is that the one rule? Is that the one rule they have in college football? You can't talk to another player unless they actually enter the transfer portal.
Which, again, is not happening.
Correct. But I feel like that's the one rule. I feel like that's the one thing that you can get busted.
The loophole is, and I want to be very clear on this, the loophole is the conversations are not taking place with the player. They are taking place with their representatives, right?
Yeah.
They're backdoor conversations of, if we were to offer X amount of dollars, would so-and-so be interested in jumping in the transfer portal? And to for clarification's sake, he was at Holy Cross. He played 4 seasons at Holy Cross, has 1 more year of eligibility that he will use at another school next season. Really fascinating stuff happening in the college football space, and we will keep our eye on the dominoes that this situation starts to knock over. Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap up the show right after this. But first, guys, for your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the 2nd floor of St. Kate, and I love that they use the word nestled, guys, because it is very cozy. It's right there in the corner. It is lovely decor. And of course, it offers culinary creativity, artisanal American cuisine, transcending tradition, leaning into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more at Aria at stkate.com. That's Aria, A-R-I-A, at stkate.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. I have told you guys over and over, when I need a ride from O'Hare Airport to my home in Mequon, Wisconsin, Accutrans handles it for me. And got to remind you guys, you got big dances coming up for your kids, right? My kid's going to homecoming in just a few weeks. Accutrans will handle their transportation for you, taking them from your home to dinner, from dinner to the dance, from the dance back to home, and you do not need to worry. They are reliable. They are safe. I would use it for my kiddo and all of his friends, and you should too. Visit their website, AccutransGroup.com, to get a quote and book a reservation today.
Here we go.
Feel like we put some stuff on the old Twitter polls today. Always, you can follow Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Couple things up there.
How many yards from scrimmage can Aaron Jones have and the Packers still win the game? 75 or under, 100 or under, 125 or under, 150 or under. 100 or under is running away with this one with 46% of the vote. Gabe, do you feel comfortable if Aaron Jones racks up 100 yards receiving and rushing this weekend, Packers can still walk out of there with the W?
Yeah, they can absolutely walk out of there with the W at 100 under. I feel very good. That was my vote, was 100 under. You?
I agree with 100. Shocking that we didn't put 160 on there for Chew. Yeah, he doesn't know how to vote on a Twitter poll, so unfortunately, we wouldn't have even gotten one.
160? He actually said 160 yesterday?
Yes, he did.
What was the yes?
It was a thing that happened. We kind of just reacted to it and moved on. Well, okay.
The other question we asked you this morning, who will be the biggest determining factor other than Jordan Love for the Packers on Sunday against the Vikings? Again, operating from the position that we believe Jordan Love will be under center. Nothing official from the Packers as they continue to do the willy or won't he dance, trying to keep the mystery alive in that relationship. Josh Jacobs, your options. Jaden Reed, Matt LaFleur, or other. You could write it in. Gabe, remind me what your pick on that was.
I said Jaden Reed. I think it's really important to get him involved early to try to have the Vikings back off some of the hiding stuff, back off having so many people around the line of scrimmage, back off, and that could open up some things for Josh Jacobs.
8.9% of people, so 9% of people agree with you that Jaden Reed will be the biggest determining factor. Meanwhile, 31% of people say it is going to be Josh Jacobs. Remind everybody, we talked about it earlier in the show, your concern about Josh Jacobs is that run defense?
Minnesota's very good at stopping the run. They are the number two run defense, according to Football Focus.
So therefore, that explains why 53% of people have said Matt LaFleur, because Matt LaFleur has been in his bag lately, right? Obviously, with Malik Willis under center, Matt LaFleur drew up a game plan that was very good for him. It played to his strengths. It limited his deficiencies. Not that you have that same challenge when Jordan Love is under center, but if you believe that Jordan Love will be limited at all, still dealing with that knee or coming off of that knee, hesitant on that knee, then Matt LaFleur will have to put his quarterback in a position to succeed as well. And that's why 53% of people are saying he's the guy who will be the difference maker.
Yeah, and it's against a defense that's playing better than the ones you've faced the last 2 weeks. It's not like Indianapolis or Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee was playing well against the run, and with the running backs did play well against the run. The Packers were able to get a big yardage total thanks to Malik Willis. But yeah, Tennessee's been pretty good against the run. But yeah, this is just a different defense, the way that they've been operating and the way that they were able to play against two high-powered offenses in San Francisco and Houston.
Speaking of defense, the defense getting a lot of love in the other category. Barry saying it's Jaire Alexander. He's going to have to shut down Justin Jefferson. Mark saying Tucker Kraft is the guy. And Matt Johnson saying the run defense for the Packers will have to come to play.
When's the last time the Packers' run defense actually came to play?
Last week.
When's the last time the Packers' run defense actually came to play?
Rejecting that answer on principle?
This week.
Yeah, okay. But against a good running team. When's the last time they came?
Will the Adosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.